Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Benching in the Kitchen. I'm your host, Pablo Acosta. And actually, I'm going to take that back. I'm the co-host of this podcast. I believe that the Holy Spirit, and I am firmly standing strong in that the Holy Spirit is our host. I just happen to be the one who turns on the microphones, turns on the equipment, and just speaks. So I'm amazed and in love that he's still giving us more people to interview. I'm just flabbergasted. That's the word I want to use. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this interview. It's going to be amazing. This is a special interview because I actually have done this before, and somehow I managed to not have it anymore. So I asked for some grace and mercy, and he sat back down with me, and we're recording this. So I have the pleasure of introducing a great pastor, not just a great pastor, but a great fellow man that inspires others to seek his kingdom and become kingdom men and kingdom women, and thus kingdom marriages, kingdom families. Could you introduce yourself to us?
Hey, my name is Chris Brown from North Coast Church in Vista, California.
Beautiful Vista, California. Beautiful Vista, California. Well, Chris, once again, thank you for wanting to sit down with me again and doing this again. I was kind of nervous about it, but now that we prayed, we got this in order. I can see the recording working. I can hear the audio working. We're good to go.
And you know what? The first one wasn't good anyway. I didn't say anything worth recording. I think it was supposed to get edited out. So this one's going to be great.
Awesome. Well, Chris, I'm going to refer to you as Chris, just so everybody can get familiar with that. Every interview we discuss a verse that just, I love this verse. It has so much, but that's the thing about scripture. Scripture has so much about so much. You can break down almost every word, every empty space, and get something out of it. And then tomorrow we can do the same. We'll get something more out of it. And it just continues to flow. So here it is. It comes from Philippians 2:12. And it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What do you get from that? What's your understanding? What can you impart to us from that?
Yeah, I love that you picked that verse, because that's always been a verse that, you know, this is my 31st year, I guess, being in ministry. And that's always one of those verses that people come and go, whoa, fear and trembling. Like, what's it? And we got to work out our salvation? And I'm like, yeah, but it's not work for your salvation. You know, it's work it out. And I love Paul as, you know, he's planted this church in Philippi. He said, look, when I was with you, you were growing, you were maturing, but you had me as a teacher, but now much more in my absence. You know, and I love that our spirituality should not be based on a person or a program. You know, if your spiritual growth is based on a pastor or a church, well, you're in trouble. You know, if your spiritual growth is, it's sort of like, you know, people that, hey, the only way I can stay physically fit is I got to have a trainer and in this gym. And it's like, oh, you may be in trouble then, you know, because it's not mine. I don't own it. And that's one thing for me. You know, you can look at me and realize I'm not a guy that works out a lot. I need a trainer if I was going to kick my butt.
Yeah.
But spiritually, we got to be people that just go, okay, now even in the absence, I'm committed to being a Christ follower. I'm committed to growth. It's not based on a person or a program. And I'm not working for my salvation. I'm working it out. In other words, I'm allowing to come out of me. I'm allowing myself to be the Christian that God's already given me to be and already created me to be. That's what I love about that verse.
Right. It's just an amazing verse. You reminded me of Christmas, which is coming soon. And
people often say I remind them of Christmas. So
no. The reason why you remind me because, you know, we tend to tell our children, hey, if you behave throughout the whole year, you'll get a gift.
Yeah.
But usually we just get them a gift no matter what.
No matter what.
And what we're doing is we're hoping that that gift, whatever it is, makes their life easier. But not only that, they apply it to their lives. Mm. You know, so we're asking them, okay, so here's a gift. I don't care about how you behave. I mean, I can say I did, but at the end of the day, you know, you're going to give me puppy eyes and it's going to be yours. But could you use it for that? And I think that's, I mean, in my perspective, that's what that verse talks about. Mm-hmm. It's saying, hey, I gave you the greatest gift. Apply it. Yeah. Use it. Because it's going to make your life easier. Not better, but easier.
And there's nothing worse than someone giving you a gift, whether it's Christmas or birthday, and you open it and you realize, I ain't ever using this. I mean, this is nothing I would use. Right. And so I love that, that, you know, what God is asking you to work out, he's like, man, this is the greatest thing. This is not just like, well, now that I'm a Christian, I guess I have to do this for God. No, no, listen, this is what's best for you. You are going to unlock the person that you were created to be. You're going to unlock a joy and a happiness and a kindness, a purpose in your life that you could never find on your own. This is for your benefit, not just his benefit, that you walk this up.
Yeah, that's a big amen to that. I'm going to use some applause there.
Oh, look at that. I thought that was rain. Hey,
what's counted as both. So I'm so inspired by some of the things. The last interview I had talked to you about this verse and how God was reminding me that through one of your sermons, I heard this verse and you touched on it lightly. And I wanted to become part of that, and I got baptized through you speaking on that verse. It was a different teaching, but
how long ago was that?
5 years ago.
Wow.
And that's the beautiful part that I was telling you. Every perspective brings something else. And every time I read this verse with someone asked me, sent me a message, and they're like, can you change the verse? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, because there's no ending to this verse. There may be a period.
Somebody's asked you before, you're like, hey, I want to ask you about this verse. And someone's asked you, hey, can you give me a different verse?
Yeah. And we talked about another verse. You know, I'm not, you know, like I said before, this podcast is not mine. I just happen to be the co-host. The Holy Spirit is a co-host. So we'll go with whatever he wants us to do. But I said, the only reason I don't want to change it is because I want people to understand that if you take any verse in the Bible and you discuss it in any situation, in any emotion, in any way, you're going to get so much out of it.
Sure.
And like we said earlier, you know, you'll get something out tomorrow and then the next day and the next day. It's just to get people used to that you have to read scripture constantly. And then when you hear all those others telling you something, this is my understanding is, it makes you go back and read it. What did I miss? You know?
And that's what I love. 31 years of teaching the Bible. I will go to passages and books that I've taught so many times. And yet this time I get something new. This time I'm like, man, I've never seen that before. Or, wow, does this fit right now where we are at this time of life? Where, hey, I did this book study maybe 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 15 years ago. But man, does it seem to speak to exactly where we are today? And that's what I love. It's the only book you have in your library that's living. It's the Word of God. It's a two-edged sword. And so it's the only book you have that has actual power behind it. It's not literature, you know, simply text on pages. It is God's holy word. And so that's why I love that. It's like that sword. No matter how you bring it out, it's going to cut. It's going to divide. It's going to open up. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I love that. It's so cool. And it just inspired me, and I hope it inspires others to continue to seek that. Now let's get to know you a little bit. You share as much as you want, as much as you're at, you know, you're encouraged to share. But
careful what you ask, because I'll share everything.
Don't worry, I have 49 hours of recording here.
Here we go,
and we'll split this into a series.
I can do an hour for every year.
So tell us, of course, you know you work here, but tell us a little bit of why you work here and what was the inspiration to become a pastor, and how you landed on North Coast. If you're married, if you have kids. And yeah,
got it. Start with the absolute most important thing. Been married now for a little over 20 years. 25 years. I'm sorry. Wait. Oh man, I almost blew that. 25 years. Go back.
We have her on the other line.
Man, she's Amy. Sorry. I was like, wait, 20. I got a kid that's 19. How'd I do that? And I'm like, wait, 25 years. So been married 25 years to Amy, but it seems like only 20. And we have three kids that are all teenagers right now, 19, 17, and 15, two girls and a boy. Living here in Oceanside, part of North Coast for the last 16 years now, a little over 16, almost 17 years, I guess. And I never wanted to be a pastor, never wanted to be in ministry. Grew up where ministry was a punishment, where you were forced to go to church, you had to go to church. There was no joy, there was no freedom, there was no forgiveness, there was no grace, no mercy from church. It was nothing but rules and regulations. Really, and I'm not saying all churches, our specific one in Texas, just run by a bunch of hypocrites, both the church and the school. All I saw and felt was hypocrisy from religious leaders. And so I knew growing up in that atmosphere that there was a God, and that one day there was an eternal punishment or heaven. And I knew that this God of love did not like me. That's pretty much what I walked away from church with. And and kind of carry that. And then the Sunday school God that I was taught, the little Jesus holding a lamb with a little, you know, scarf across him, you know, and a white mini skirt that he always wore, was good to entertain children with in church. But by my teenage years, he wasn't a God that would come through for you, nor was he a God that I could relate to in any way. And so basically left Texas, left everything after I graduated from high school, spent some time running around the country, came out here to California. And even though successful outwardly and a popular guy and a great job driving heavy equipment and tractors and then doing sales coordinating and estimating for a large company, really just found myself on empty. And had an older brother who had really started to walk with God, came back into my life and is like, hey, you need this, buddy. And I remember that night he told me two things. He said, number one, he said, do you know that God hated the church that we grew up in? And that blew me away. Because the church was God's, and God is the church. So I always had, whatever that church did was God. And it never really dawned on me that God hated what that church was doing. Not that he hated the people, but man, he hated what that church was doing. Our church was so full of, like I said, hypocrisy, greed, sin. And so I never was able to separate God from bad church. And my brother did for me that night. And then he said this, you know that God loves you. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, God loves the world. And I'm in the world. So God, by default, has to love me. And he said, do you realize that God knows everything about you and he still really, really likes you? And for whatever reason, Pablo, God liking me was far more deep and profound than God loving me. And that began a search in my life to come back to something I wasn't finding on my own and replacing a life that was leaving me hollow and empty, a life that I didn't like being alone. Because when I was alone, I didn't like who I was with. And so I usually made sure I was never alone, and brought me back to understanding grace and mercy that I never realized, forgiveness that I heard preached at me my whole life, but never really knew what it meant. But more importantly, freedom from a past, freedom from guilt and shame that no one ever unlocked. And that's what got me walking with God. Now, if you told me at that point, you're going to become a pastor, I would have ran. But that brought me back to a turning point. And then it was one of those things where I didn't want to be a pastor. I don't want to work at church. I just wanted to share with people what I found. And that turned into ministry.
You got molded into potter's clay,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This, before we get to a bit more about the relationship with Jesus, I want to ask you a question that just hit my heart and my head. And I've been talking to people about this. And I don't mean to get too personal. You can answer it if you like.
No, sure.
What is one skill that you used before you were a Christian for bad against God that he turned around and now you're using it for good?
Oh, can I answer all of the above?
Yes.
Everything. My personality, especially my mouth, you know, my storytelling ability. I could get into trouble and out of trouble all in the same night. My personality and character was all about Chris. It was the Chris Brown show. It was all about ego. It was all about self. It was all self-indulgent. I used my words and my personality and my humor to make sure I always had a girl by my side because I was trying to find value. I was trying to find my masculinity from femininity, and of course that fails miserably. A masculinity can only be found in the master. And so everything, I feel like the things I have now, I have a strong teaching gift and personality, really the only two gifts I have. But both of those used, my mouth was used simply for my own self, my own pride, my own ego. And my personality was simply used to glorify me. And so they still flare up like that at times. Old Chris still wants to come out and play from time to time. But those are the things now I go, man, how can this use to benefit the kingdom, not Chris?
The reason why I asked that question is because I feel like it's not asked that often. Usually we ignore that. We usually say, well, it's going to change all that and you're going to get new stuff. But I can tell you I'm the same way. I used to be told by teachers, can you shut up? Like, can you stop? Because you're disrupting the whole class.
Yeah.
So I would always disrupt something with my speech.
Yep.
And he's been using it differently. Now he's like, cool. So you like to talk. How about I put someone in front of you that needs to listen?
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm like, really? Like, I don't Yeah, do it. So.
And the irony is, my teacher is my entire school, you know, telling me to shut up, don't talk in class, you know, don't try to take the attention. I was always trying to get their attention. I was the class clown. Yeah. Now, I'm paid to be the only one talking in a room. I'm trying to keep everyone's attention. That's the irony of God going, yeah, what you know, the greatest weapon against yourself is my greatest tool for you. I just got to straighten it out.
And hopefully that...
I'm not hearing you in my headset. Is your mic still being picked up? Yeah. I hear my mic.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Oh, okay.
Did it went away?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. It did record. I was looking at it.
So okay, yeah, I was hearing it fine. I just wanted to make sure you got it.
It dropped a little bit. Sorry about that. No, and that's an awesome answer. And that's, I hope this resonates with some of the listeners and they realize they can put to action all their bad skills and things that they thought that were against the kingdom to actually build the kingdom. You know.
Oh, there. I mean, there's the first calling of the disciples when Jesus is walking by the shore. He's teaching the crowd. They go out in Peter's boat, you know, and he teaches the crowd from his boat. Then throw down your net for a catch. They get so many fish. They come to shore. They have to leave their boats and nets. And Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men." You know, and I don't think we truly understand what he was saying is, I know you're fishermen. I know who you are. I know what you're good at. I know what you're about. I just want to use that for a different purpose. You know, we've made fishers of men a calling for Christian. It's on our coffee mugs. It's on bumper stickers. You know, hey, I'm a fisher of men. I'm like, no, you're not. You're a carpenter for men. You're a drywaller for men. You're a stay-at-home mom for men. You're a school teacher for men. You're a doctor for men. You're a lawyer, you know, for people. But you're not a fisher for men unless you're a professional fisherman. You know, Jesus used that term because he was talking to professional fishermen, encouraging them. What I didn't get growing up, I thought, man, if I really became a Christian, God will turn me against my own will. I'm going to have the worst life possible. I have to be a missionary. I'm going to have to go live out in a hut somewhere in the Amazon. I'm going to have to keep my kids from giant snakes that want to swallow them. And I have to wear, you know, grass skirts and a gourd. And that's what I thought following Christ was. And no one said, no, no, no. This was an encouragement to fishermen saying, I know who you are and what you do and what you're good at because I made you. I still want you to be that guy. We're just going to catch something different.
Yeah, that's what he does daily for people. Yeah. We choose not to.
And he said, Chris, you're creative. You're a loudmouth. You're a distraction. You interrupt the class. You never keep inside the lines. You always try to do things your way. That's what I want you to be. I just want you to do that with a different purpose. And I just thought if I had to follow Christ, he would de-Chris me. You know, I'd have to give up everything that I was. And he's like, no, 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 no. I want you to give up all that you are to me so I can use all that you are for a different purpose. And that's the brilliance of this creator.
And that answers the next question.
Oh, good. We're done with it.
It's what does it mean to follow Jesus and to be asked to follow Jesus? And that's what it is. It's utilizing everything that's in you that the enemy has deceived you and put a veil in your face that is only meant for bad. Turn it into good. You know, no weapon formed against God can prosper. Yeah. So.
And it's unlocking the true potential of who you are.
Yeah.
It's God going, look, I made you specifically for a reason, a purpose. Psalm 139, I knit you together in your mother's womb. I know you. You are fearfully made. You know, you are God's workmanship, God's poema. And he's like, I just want to unleash what you were made to do. You know, and that's why the word of God is sort of like the instruction manual for, okay, how do I operate this life that he created? Because before I really, you know, sold out and gave myself to him, I was trying to figure out my life. I was trying to figure out what Chris was supposed to do. I was trying to figure out how to run my life without looking at the operator's manual. And the God that created me said, man, I created you to run this way. Why do you think you could get better use out of you than I could?
As I got to tell my son, as I go buy a shelf at the store with the instructions, come back home and build me a desk. You may try. It may look like a desk, but utilize it as a desk. It's just not going to happen. No. It's going to break. It's going to fall apart, especially nowadays when it's cardboard. But anyways, that's another story.
Or you can build a lousy desk and the rest of your life just go, what is that? Well, that's my desk. That's kind of a lousy desk. Well, that's the best I could do with what I have. Well, no, it's not. You're building the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You're made to be an incredible shelf, and you're just satisfied with being a lousy desk. Have we taken that illustration too far? That's good. That's good.
We're not giving any commercials to any desk manufacturer. We're not giving it that.
This segment sponsored by IKEA.
hopefully. You know, but that's the beauty that I want people to see in you, not just the person who stands and talks in a microphone, that there's a real you with real struggles, just like us, maybe not the same, but similar.
Oh yeah.
And we're dealing with things that it's every day. We wake up every day and we're like, ooh, another day to do it better. Yeah. Or do what I was supposed to do the day before. So it's not, you know, not impossible to get up, use the same skills and try it again. That's what I want. That's my hope for this podcast. It's like someone wakes up and like, cool, it's Wednesday. What happened Tuesday? Who cares? Now I'm on Wednesday. Now I do his will, you know?
Yeah. The rest of your life starts today.
Now, let's get a little bit into disciplines. And we all have different disciplines and routines. We talk about what we do to be connected daily. You know, the things that helps us to connect to that. So, and I've heard all the answers. I have no problem with all the answers. Like I said, all I want is people to hear this and say, oh, it's not hard. It really isn't hard. As I wake up, I'm thankful. I recognize that this day that God made gave me another breath so I can try again. That's the essence. So, what is the first thing that Chris does when he first wakes up?
Hit snooze button. I try to get 8 more minutes out. Can I just get 8 more minutes? I don't have, and I'm okay with this, so I'm not saying this out of guilt or shame anymore, but I don't have a, hey, here's my 2-hour routine of journaling and reading before I do anything else in the day. And I wrestled with that early on. I wrestled with that, I would say between my really 7th to 10th year of ministry, in just looking at people going, great Christian men and women journal. You know, you've got to learn to journal. Or great Christian men and women are readers. Readers are leaders. You know, if you're not a reader, you're never going to be a leader. And I had these thoughts spoken to me by so many people in so many places that internally, here's what I knew, Pablo. I'm walking around going, man, I'm leading. I'm in youth ministry, but I know I'm really not a leader. I'm doing ministry, but I know I'm a fake ministry person. Real leaders, real people in ministry are readers and they journal. And I had a guy named Keith Korstens who was in his 50-something year of ministry, an amazing guy, semi-retired, still on staff at the church I was at up in East LA. And I remember one day just in a moment of weakness, but what I find out now is more salvation, just going, Keith, I'm not a leader. I'm never going to be a leader. And should I get out of ministry now? And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, I see your youth ministry. I see what you're doing. How can you say that? I go, no. Outwardly, it looks like I'm really leading. And outwardly, it looks like God's doing stuff. But inwardly, I'm not the spiritual leader. Because here's what I know spiritual leaders are. And Keith is like, you've got to knock this off. He goes, people that say readers are leaders are readers. He goes, I guarantee you, a non-reader never said that. And people that say journaling is a major discipline that you need in your faith are people who like to journal and like to write. He's like, Chris, have you ever enjoyed reading? Have you ever enjoyed writing? And I'm like, never. And he goes, so why do you think God would ask you to read and write if he knows you hate doing that? And I'm like, because he wants me to do things I hate for him. See, that doesn't go with my theology. That goes with my bad church upbringing.
Yeah.
And that was when I started to go, oh man, can I actually do this? Now, here's what I say, learners are leaders. There's a lot of ways you can learn.
Yeah.
You can learn by listening to podcasts like this. You can learn by watching. You can learn auditory. You can learn by reading. You can learn by journaling. But I would say you got to keep learning, not that you have to keep reading, because I struggle with reading.
Yeah,
I've never been writing. My thing, even I'm fidgeting right now, I've always been ADD, I'm always kinetic, I got to be moving. And the yeah. more, you know, you sit still and know that I am God, and I'm like, I'm going to sit still and know that I'm in chaos. I just don't sit still. And that's where I felt like God gave me the freedom to say, well, then start moving. Drive with me. Walk with me. Do with me. The thing is with me, just not on your own. And so I started practicing, where do I practice the presence of God in my life that's not in solitude, that's not in silence, it's not in reading, that's not in journaling? Because you can look back at my life, ask any teacher and ask my mom and dad, when has Chris been silent? and they'll say never. Even when he sleeps, he snores. He wrestles. He turns around.
There's got to be a noise coming
out. Oh, the blankets were always ripped off the bed, knotted up, just in his sleeping, man. The kid doesn't sit still. He's not silent. And to find then that freedom of, oh, God created me to interact with him as his kid differently than his kids that like sitting and journaling. And that's the freedom of the disciplines. I always say, show me what God is doing in your life and where you're learning. And I don't care how you're doing it. I don't care. Show me where you're growing and where God is using you. And I don't care how you're doing it. Larry Osborne here always says, you examine the fruit, not the watering schedule. I don't care how you planted your trees, how much you watered, what fertilizer. Show me the fruit. Oh, you got fruit? Okay, then don't worry about your schedule. Now, if there's no fruit and no growth, you may be lying to yourself saying you're a person of any spiritual discipline. Yeah. Show me there's fruit and growth. Show me who you were 3 years ago to now. There's been growth. Keep doing what you're doing. Show me that you're impacting others by this, you know, what God's doing in you and through you. Keep doing what you're doing. And so for me, I just had that freedom of, okay, this is how I do it. And I watch, you know, my learning comes from watching and from hearing. And so like even the stuff I have on my computer right now, the daily doses that I'm doing, even the North Coast stuff to go, okay, this is where my growth comes from.
And that goes back to the point we spoke before, where you must find who you are and whose you are, and using that to build this kingdom, not utilizing someone else's. You know, that's not, I don't want anybody to copy you, to copy me, to copy any other interview. I just want them to be inspired that each one of them is utilizing the way they were created for what they were created. So I love your answer, and I love every answer, and I love my answers because God's saying, cool, I made you guys in my image, yet I took the time to make you individually and wire you individually. To me, you can't tell me anyone else has done that in this life. Yeah. Even houses, even architects can say, I built this house the same. You can always find the flaw. Yeah. You can always find a difference. And with God, he was just reminding me how I was wired. Because I was always complaining, you know, I'm going to create chaos.
Yeah.
Who am I in this life? Because everything I touch, I create chaos. But it's because I was utilizing all my gifts and skills and blessings to worship the enemy, to idolize him. Yeah. And then when God said, I was like, no, look, turn around.
Here it is.
And then guess what? It's 180 degrees. And so I just love the answer.
I only have three kids. I mean, God has a lot of kids. I only have three. But I look at those three. I can't get those three kids. I only have three in my house. That's all I'm responsible for. I can't get them to respond to me the exact same way, because they're all uniquely different.
Yeah.
And they all want time with dad differently. And I'm not about to tell Selah, my oldest, hey, you got to start talking gaming with me. You got to start talking computers with me. You got to start talking Twitch with me and going online. I wouldn't tell her to do that. She would cry and she'd realize, well, then I can't talk to dad. You and I can't have a relationship, because that's what her 15-year-old brother does. Her 15-year-old brother wants to talk gaming with me, what he's doing online, his stuff on Twitch that he's doing right now, a computer that he wants to start building with my buddy Scott and all the pieces that they're doing. And that's how Barrick, you know, my son, he relates to me through this verbal of what I'm into and what I'm doing. And I'm not about to tell another one of my kids, see, this is how you do it. No, this is how he does it, and this is how she does it, and this is how she does it. All I want as a dad is, they each have a relationship with me. Very unique, but it's real, and I'm there for them, and it's full of love and respect. We're okay. Don't try to come to me the way he does or she does. That's not how we made you.
It'll be fake.
Yeah.
And that will just embrace something else.
Yeah. Here's what it's gonna do. That's what I was doing fake relationship, because I gotta read. I got a journal. And so I got this journal, it's somewhere around here. I haven't written in it in about 14 years. Every once in a while though, the birth of a kid or a major job change, I'll pull out and I'll read it, because I can read 20 years of my journal in 8 pages. That's about it. I got about 8 pages over 20 years. And one of the last pages of my journal, it had when I was doing, hey, I'm gonna write every day. And then I'm like, okay, weekends I'm not doing well. So I'm gonna do weekdays. Every weekday, I'm gonna do a little 1-page journal. And I did it for 2 weeks, and then I missed a week and a half, and then I tried it again, and then I missed, and then I tried it. What it was doing, trying to do someone else's relationship with God, was making me feel guilty and shame.
Yeah.
And because someone told me, real leaders, real Christians do this. And I'm like, no, real Christians like you do that. the rest of us don't.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I want to readjust this question based on the personality, but how important can you tell somebody, or can you, or do you tell yourself? Because I tell myself that all the time. When it comes to prayer, we say, "Hey, I'll pray for you. I will be praying for you." How important for you is to follow up on that? Because a lot of us, like myself, sometimes I'm like, "Hey, I'll pray for you." Just this morning, I said, "I'll pray for you" to a brother of mine that called me.
Yeah.
And I hung up. So I was like, "Whoops." I'd call him back, and I'm like, that's not the way. You know, I was convicted right on the spot. Sometimes I forget. I don't always do that. But how do you explain that? How do you deal with that?
So here's the thing. I don't have it either, do I? I'm trying to remember the Old Testament prophet that said, "Far be it from me to sin against God by not praying for you." Oh my gosh, and who was it? Or was it Eli before he kind of fell? It was either a priest or a prophet. Anyway, it's in the Old Testament. He says, "Far be it from me to sin against God by not praying for you, you know, my people." And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did he just consider it a sin when he didn't pray for the people? Because people would do. They come up after church all the time, and there's a line of people. "Oh, Chris, man, this was good, but can you pray for me?" "Yeah, I'll do that." Someone, and I'm going to be honest, man. By 4 services, 5 services, by the time I get to my car and drive home, I'm not going to remember half of those, if I'm lucky, even half of those, because I can have 30 to 40 people a weekend ask me to pray for them. Yeah. So what I started doing early on, when people come up and go, "Hey, man, can you pray for me?" or just stopping me out here in the plaza or even in the mall. You know, I'm walking with Amy and people come up, "Oh, man, Chris, I'm so glad I saw you. Man, I'm just wondering, can you pray for me?" I stop right there and go, "Hey, can we pray right now?" I'm going to do it right there. I don't owe you anything. I'm not going to forget anything. I'm not going to think down, you know, a week from now, who was that or what happened? If you ask me, "Can we pray?" I almost 100% of the time, I'm going to stop right there and say, "We're going to pray right now." Or when people text me, "Hey, I was wondering if you could pray for me." I stop right there. I pray. And then I text back, "Hey, praying for you right now." Because I don't want to leave that on the hook of God going, "Wow, someone came to you as a fellow brother and sister with a burden and said, pray for me. And you didn't do anything with that?" I'm like, "Why?" "Well, because my life was more important than their problem." See, that's a bad answer, Pablo. I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah.
So I stop right there, and you'll see me up in front. Just, "Hey, can we pray right now?" Boom, pray. Okay, next one. Talking about next person. "Hey, I need to pray. Can we just pray right now?" Okay, good. Pray. So that's how I do it, because I just don't want to get to heaven and goes, "And there's a list of 40,000 prayer requests that you said you would pray for and you never did." And I'm like, "Whoa."
So, all right, Chris, time to pay.
Yeah.
And the reason why I asked that question is because God was revealing to me. He said, "You sometimes think you're nothing special." He's like, "But you are. Everyone here is special. And someone out there's praying, and they're holding on to this little thread of hope. And their hope comes in someone praying for them."
Yeah.
Exemplifying and witnessing who Jesus is. So by you praying for them, it's another reaffirmation that they're going the right way, that they definitely should be praying for this, and they should be relying on me.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's not about them. It's about that connection that they could be losing at that moment. You know, we could be the ones that are like, "You see, told you, no Christians pray."
Yeah.
"You know, this is that I'll pray for you." So, you know.
Well, and here's the other piece that I think God loves to answer those prayers, not because I prayed it or there's power, but he knows that individual went to someone and asked for prayer, and God goes, "Now I'm going to move here," because that individual is going to know it's because we started praying about it. And God goes, "Look, it wasn't the person that was praying. It had nothing to do with Chris praying. But I want you to know, because you ask other people to start praying and because you're praying about it, this is why I'm moving." And I think, you know, I've never really taught this or said it publicly, I guess, till now.
This is an exclusive?
Yeah, this is an exclusive. This is hot off the press. But I really stop and pray, and I'm like, "Oh, am I in the right spirit?" And I'm like, "Chris, the fact is you're just praying. And that person's going to walk out of church. There's going to be an answer, and they're going to go, 'God, it's because I came to you in church and I prayed.'" And it's going to strengthen their faith in God of prayer, not my words. And that's why I do it.
Yeah. No, that's the ultimate goal, is to glorify him.
Yeah.
And then be witnessing to others. I tell people, I was like, God doesn't need minions. He needs prayer warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah, so get up on that and start praying when you say you're going to pray. And if you failed, no problem. You stop. If you felt like you failed, that's because the Holy Spirit is telling you, hey, didn't I tell you so? Now do it, whether that person's present or not. And that's what I've been instructed now, you know, by inspiration of God. It's like, cool, you forgot, but you didn't forget right now. Yeah. You remembered. I remembered you. So thank you for that.
Good.
Scripture.
I believe in it. Oh, go ahead.
Of course. <yeah. laughs> But let's say we had someone brand new to the faith, someone struggling. How do you explain that thirst that you have for Scripture? What drives you to read Scripture? What drives you to dwell in Scripture? How would you explain that to just about anyone that wants to know that answer, including myself?
Yeah, I would say this. I would say there is still a dresser drawer in my bedroom that if you pulled it out, you would find a bunch of envelopes and a bunch of notes and a bunch of letters in there that I've kept. And you will read through them and go, oh, that's kind of cute. I'm not quite sure what that was about. Or, yeah, that's lovey, whatever. And it wouldn't mean much to you. But I hold on to those because those are little notes, little cards that Amy has sent me over the year. Or still when I go on trips now, I'm speaking somewhere, going to a conference, I will unpack my bag and she has put a note in there. She has put something in there. And I'm like, man, those mean something to me. But they won't mean much to you. The reason why they mean something to me is because of who wrote it and knowing she was writing to me. And when I challenge people when it comes to Scripture, especially if you're a new Christian, you really need to spend some time thinking about who wrote it and that they wrote it to you. Because that's what makes this thing. And I'm not talking about, oh, the Apostle Paul was writing to a church in Philippi. I'm talking about this truly being God's letter for you to have a different life than what you're living right now. This is God writing to you saying, I want you to have a better marriage. Probably married to the same person, but it's gonna be a better marriage. I want you to have a better relationship as a parent. I want you to have a better relationship with your parents. I want you to live a better life as a single. I want better for you. When I sat down, I saw Scripture as a bunch of just old archaic literature that didn't make much sense. And I never really spent much time thinking about who wrote this letter to me and why. Because that's what changes all those notes in that drawer. I know Amy wrote those and I know they were to me. They mean something to me. So I think before you just run to Scripture, to spend a moment just going, man, this is how much this God loves me, that he really wanted to write me this book, this letter, so I knew how to relate to him. And this book is everything God has done to get to me, not what I have to do to get to him. And so I think that's big, you know, it's just for me, remembering the God that's behind this book and not seeing it as just ancient literature.
That's so cool. I got that, and I know last time you spoke like that, and it didn't hit my heart until 3 weeks ago. I read the Bible in love. I read Scripture in love. I love what he wrote for us in basic instructions before leaving Earth, Bible. I love that. But I was reading Philemon.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say that I pronounced it right. You saw how I said it?
Philemon. It's the Jamaican book. Yeah, Philemon.
Someone else said Philemon. And I said, cool, you pronounce how you want. To me, it's Philemon.
I always tell people, the guy died a long time ago and so did his family. So there's no one really to ask. So pronounce it however you want.
It's all in that tiny little letter, almost like we can call it now a text message. If we're comparing in technology, I can call that a text message. It's such a small letter, it's almost like a text message.
Yeah, it's a one page.
It's like, BRB, love you, PS, yeah. I'll see you soon. But anyways, I just got to remember as you were talking about that, how Paul wrote this recommendation letter to Onesimus?
Yep.
Wait, is there a second?
Onesimus.
Hey, well, to this guy, that was amazing.
Yep.
But what I love about that recommendation letter was he vouched.
Yeah.
And I started.
You got a runaway slave. Just for context, yeah, for people who are listening, there's a runaway slave that came across Paul's life somehow, became a Christian, probably through Paul. Now he's a brother in the faith, and Paul's sending him back to his old owner with a letter in hand, with this reference letter, basically.
And if we backtrack a little bit, Paul had a letter like that, but he had a letter from the enemy, right? Recommendation letter from the enemy to go kill God's people.
Yeah.
So that in context with what you added, I love that I tell people, like, before I tell start in Ephesians, now I say to start on Philemon for this following reason, because of what you were saying, is that I can't write a letter for that. It's a hard letter, you know. I mean, I'm getting to the point that I am writing it for brothers and sisters. But what I love is he's saying, hey, he was of no value to you, but guess what? Now he's the utmost value. I mean, that is a recommendation letter. I asked friends in the military, friends in businesses. I said, how successful have you had a promotion or a deal because you had a recommendation letter? What was the success rate? And they most came in from at 80 to 95%.
Yeah.
So I said, that's what God's doing in your life. Yeah. He's watching you, and then he's telling you, hey, just so you know, Pablo was of no good. And then now he's of the utmost good. And he's sending me with this letter, but it's also the job of a Christian to accept that letter. Because Paul said that in a nicely worded way. Hey, accept it, not because of me, but because of me, but because of not me,
yeah,
but because of me.
Yeah.
And I just love that.
He pulled rank on that letter. Yeah.
You know, and
he goes, I could, because I'm an apostle, because I'm from Christ, I could order you to do this, but I'm not going to do that. Which means, yeah, you kind of just did.
You're sort of obligated with this. And then he said, if he owes you anything, I'll put it on my tab. And I tell my friends, cool. So when I get to heaven, who's going to go up to Paul and say, Paul, that dude owed me $50. Where's my 50?
Yeah, if he owes you anything, put it on my tab. And then he says, which, by the way, you owe me your faith, you and your family who I'm baptized. So I got a pretty big credit, but just in case you want to play that card, it's a brilliant letter.
It's a whole circle.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about scripture. It's a whole circle. You think you're not worth it, boom, gives you worth. You think you owe something, boom, gives it right back to you. And he says, all you got to do is reutilize it. You know, reuse, recycle, and reuse. Yeah, it's just good. I don't know. Thank you for reminding me of that. I actually called out a couple friends on that verse. I'm like, could you write me a letter? Could I write you a letter? Could I accept your letter?
That's good.
You know, so it's just, thank you for that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite verse and your understanding of it?
Oh, my favorite verse hangs right there over my door. I have to walk under it every time I'm leaving, especially to teach. But it's James 3:1. Let not many of you become teachers, my dear brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. It's my favorite verse because it is the verse I least like in the Bible. It's a scary verse. Hey, he's like, look, the job of teaching the word of God, I'm not saying you had to do it. You took that. You accepted that. But I wouldn't, and that's James writing, the half-brother Jesus. There shouldn't be a lot of you running to go, I want to teach the word of God. I want to teach the word, because you know you'll be judged more strictly. Now, I love that. You're not held to a higher standard. I'm not held to a different standard because I'm a pastor than anybody at North Coast, but you will be judged more strictly to that standard. Your screw up, I'm going to come down on you harder. You cutting the corners, yeah, you're going to be judged more strictly. But I'm to have the exact same faith and the exact same lifestyle as every plumber, as every school teacher, as every doctor, as every nurse at North Coast. I'm not called to a higher standard. Just, Chris, you will be judged more strictly. Because you're standing up in front of others saying, here's the word of God, and I'm presenting it to you. And that verse literally scares hell out of me. You know, when I'm tempted to do something of Satan or of the devil, that verse goes, you will not get away with it like others can. And there's a different judgment for you. How dare you stand with hypocrisy? If you're going to teach others the word of God, you better be applying it. So I put it over my doorway. It's on a cool plaque. And that's my favorite verse because I dislike it more than any other verse in the Bible, which means I probably need it more than any other verse in the Bible.
I took a picture of it, and we're going to make it the artwork for the episode.
Nice!
I think that's a cool claim too. You know, and earlier we spoke about your personality, how you were wired by God, and how you were constructed. So the next question, we'll dig into a little bit of what else you utilize to learn. So is there any podcast, any pastors that you speak, any lectures that you try to take on, any Bible studies, anything you can recommend for someone that could resonate with your personality? And yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple guys. Mark Clark. I like listening to him. When I just listen to another pastor, he's up in a church in Vancouver, Canada. He's become a good friend of mine. It's Village Church. He's smart. He's actually a brilliant guy. I love the way he teaches. I love his sense of humor. So I love listening to Mark Clark from Village Church. I have gotten into reading, just when I said I'm not a reader, I read commentaries. I have a tough time catching up with print when I'm reading, taking thoughts, but the most of my reading that I do here and the stuff that I even have online is enduringword.com and blueletterbible.com, and they're basically study sites for Bible geeks. And I love taking passages of scripture and reading just about that passage of scripture, because I can follow that train of thought. I know where they're coming from because I already know what scripture it is, and I know what they're talking about. So for some reason, my mind can follow reading like that a lot better. When I pick up most Christian books, any Christian leadership books or Christian discipleship books, I have a really tough time reading those and knowing what's happening. I'll read paragraphs 3, 4, 5, 6 times before I can move on to the next. And I don't know what's actually the issue with that. That's one of my struggles with school early on, when you were just given a lot of reading. I would show up to a study group and I could learn by hearing others talk, but I couldn't really pull out a text myself. So another guy, Ricky Jenkins, is another friend of mine. I like listening to friends of mine because I know who they are. And for me, I really rate a pastor by how he is as a husband and how he is as a dad. And the best pastors I know are really good husbands and really good dads. So Ricky Jenkins is from a church out in the Palm Desert area, Southwest Community Church. I love listening to him. He's a black friend. I love his cadence. I love his teaching style. I just love the dude's heart, so I can listen. So two pastors, two sites.
Yeah, no, awesome. Thank you. I'm going to check some of this out. I do log into the Blue
Letter Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. And because I'm studying to be a biblical counselor, so they always shoot me towards that to read it. I love hermeneutics.
Yeah.
That's why I love the letters of Paul, because it takes me to where he was, what emotional statement he was in, where he was actually writing it from, you know, from a jail.
And who he's writing it to.
You know, from someone that's been in jail, I can tell you I've never written anything. I wrote a letter to my wife and I reread it and I'm like, rip that apart.
Yeah.
You know, there's no love in that letter. So I just, the devotion that he had in that moment. You know, I love studying. So thank you for sharing those links. Hopefully someone logs into that. These next three questions were, you know, part of the last part of the podcast. But what is one area you're seeking to surrender and why? Or are you currently surrendering?
Wow. Just one.
The most prominent, I guess I will say.
Yeah, pride and ego, I think, have always been something that I've always disdained in others, and yet I always knew, you know, it's always part of me. I think the size of this church, the size of ministry, who gets credit, notoriety, all that stuff, there's a human side of me that's like, oh, how come that went that way, or how come I didn't get, or why? And so that's something I'm always just, I've never been able to put to death. I feel like it's something I've always beaten down pretty well, but there's certain things in my life I've struggled with, and I go, man, I don't struggle with that anymore. Like, that's not an issue for me. But this one, pride and ego, I just feel like that will be one that I will constantly need to surrender and just beat down. I don't know if there'll ever be a day that I go, I've been so humble now for years, I don't even know what pride or ego feels like anymore. I think that'll be a constant. And part of that is, man, the curse of the size of ministry and staff and the platform and where I go and speak and how they treat you as a guest speaker and everything, it just almost fuels pride and ego. You know, I don't think we were made to stand on stage and have thousands, you know, watch us. That does something to the human spirit. And if you're not careful, I've seen it change a lot of people, and I just don't want to change like that.
I deal with the same, but mine will be arrogance, because it comes with both.
Yeah.
And that's what people ask me. I'm like, I'm just going to give him the credit. I'm just a co-host.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's constantly telling us in the Bible. You want to split from that, then start giving me credit. Yeah. You know?
The arrogance is going to come from, man, I'm so spiritual the way I do this. I always give God the credit, man. That's so good of me, because other people don't do that. And I'm like, hey, guess what, buddy? That's arrogance again. I mean, I'm just like, man, Now I'm arrogant about not being arrogant anymore. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, right. So I struggle with that one. So I'm always like, should I? How much credit do I give you, Lord? 120, you know? And he's like, just do it. You know, don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And that's, so I'm like, okay, cool. You know, it's called host.
That's good.
This next question is just highly important to me. And it has to do with the community of believers. Although I believe that the first community that we should have should be with the triune God, mm-hmm. God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. We should always have that community and not replace it with the community, not run away from them to be in a community of men or women. Yeah. But how important is that to you, the community of believers? How vital is that for you?
Oh, you have to have it. You know, it is, we were not created to be alone. I like what you said. You know, the first community you need is with the triune God, a God that's three in one. But just stop right there and think of that. We have a God who does not exist outside of community. Our God exists in a community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then on page one of the Bible, we are created in his image, in his likeness. He created us male and female. So he creates us together. He creates us in his image, and his image is relationship. We were not created to do this outside of relationship. Even before sin, before page three, before the fall, we were created to do life in relationship with each other and in relationship with a God of relationship, three parts. So the more you move away from relationship, the further you're moving away from your purpose, your calling, and who you're created to be. It's now my relationship with God is utmost, but how I do this with other believers, God has put them in my life because they're going to give me strength when I'm weak. I'm going to have strength when they're weak. They're going to have skill sets and talents and abilities that far outweigh mine. It's why I love being on a church that has a staff this size. In every leadership team I'm in, I sit in a circle and I can look across the table and go, that guy's better than me. She's better than me. He's better than me. He's better than me. She's better than me in these areas. And I mean that. There's not a single meeting I'm in where I could look, sit at the table and go, I think I'm better than everybody, you know? And that's not arrogant. That's just honesty. In this room, I think I'm better than everybody at this table. No way. You know, I love surrounding myself where every single table I'm at this church, I go, they're better than me here. They're better than me here. They're better than me here. And together we make each other better, and together we make the kingdom better. And you know, this, it's not a long distance runner. You know, the kingdom of God, we're not supposed to run solo by ourselves. I just look at it and go, man, you can't do this by yourself. Anyone that goes, all I need is just me and God, I don't need others. No, you're wounded and you're hurt. And I get that, I understand that, but you're also wrong. You can't do this alone. You're not supposed to. You weren't created outside of community, and you were created in community. So
that's an amazing explanation. I like that. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's so cool. I tell people all the time, just look for it. You'll find accountability.
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoy, because when I was brought into when I was saved, that's the first gift that God gave. The second gift that God gave me first was my salvation. The second one was like, cool, now I'm going to give you a community of men to have the best interest in you. Just cuss.
Yeah.
They don't want anything in return. If you listen to them, fine, they'll be fine. If they don't, they don't. But here it is.
Yeah.
And I haven't let go of that one. They still hold me accountable, even through this podcast. Sometimes they call me like, why would you say that? And I'm like, well, sorry.
Yeah.
I'll call back the person and apologize.
Yeah.
What is one last thing you want to leave behind for the listeners? What would you like to impart on them?
You know, I guess it would be kind of the theme of where this talk ended up going today. Yeah. You know, we didn't have an outline. I just sat down with you and said, hey, it's your show. Just ask questions, fire away. But I would leave what I think is probably the most important with kind of where all this led up today. And that is this. There is a God that loves you, but here's what you need to understand. He knows exactly who you are and where you've been and what you've done and what's been done to you. And he really, really likes you. And he wants you more than you want him. And he wants you the way you are, because he created you the way you are. And he has a purpose for that. and you've got all these voices telling you why I'm wrong, why I've already blown it, why I've already done too much, why I've fallen too far. And I just got to tell you, you're wrong. There is a cross that proves you cannot out-sin God. You cannot outrun God. That cross covers it. And that's why the cross was necessary. And so you have a God that loves you, yes, but he really, really likes you. And he has a better life for you if you're willing to exchange yours for his.
That's cool. Thank you for that. I was receiving that as well, so don't think that listeners are the only ones receive. I received that as well. Like you said, I listen by hearing and by watching, and that's what God always tells me. Like, that's how I wired you. Utilize it. Well, I want to invite people to watch your sermons, because there's three pastors here, but I want them to be connected. I love the, I call them spiritual spankings. Anybody else can call them whatever they want. I just love when you turn in, you're like, whoops, it's about me. You know, I'm about to be spanked because I did something wrong. God's speaking to me. He wants me to correct. So you guys are at northcoastchurch.com, and we have different campuses at Vista, San Marcos, Escondido, Rancho Bernardo, Hawaii.
Carlsbad,
which I should remember Carlsbad because I work at Carlsbad. Wow.
Did you say Fallbrook?
Fallbrook.
Ramona. And Palma Valley.
And then a satellite in TJ, I think you guys have, right?
Yeah, down in Los Barriles.
Awesome. Yeah. And also in Hawaii?
Yeah. Kailua.
Kailua, there he is. I remember almost all of them. Yeah. So I, you know, and you can
connect. Every time I say, hey, for those of you, and I rattle off, I always get notes going, what, you left us out? And I'm like, oh, I always forget one or two.
Next week, I'll give you guys a shout out. Yeah. So yeah, just, you know, you guys on social media, on Facebook, pretty much on every outlet, spreading the gospel, which I thank you. I thank you for that obedience to continue to push his agenda and not the agenda of the enemy, which we can find it everywhere. So that's an amazing thing that you guys are connected that way, and people can just log in and on YouTube and watch the sermon live, or if they didn't make it live, make it today. If not today, tomorrow.
Yep.
So that's the beauty of social media, is that you can't give me an excuse. You can't see it or read it or watch it or whatever it is. It's always there.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to press play. It takes one action, one motion to be connected with him. So thank you so much for this time. I appreciate that we re-record this. I think this, both interviews were awesome. I tried to rescue the other one, but it just sounded like every other verb. There was nothing else except verbs. So I thank you again. I appreciate your time. And would you mind closing out in prayer, please?
I would love to. Father, thanks for this time, for just being able to sit with a brother with no agenda. He had some questions written down on his phone, but God, just for me to be able to sit here and just go, what do you want us to talk about? And God, I just pray for that person out there that has listened to this going, man, that's what I needed. That was the encouragement. God, may you let them realize that that has come from you. That God, you set up this moment. You set up this podcast. You destroyed the first one because you wanted these words to be heard by them. And that they may know, God, that they've been touched by the Spirit of God today. To realize that the Creator of the universe wants to have either a brand new or deeper relationship with them. And for them right now, just to have their own prayer at the end of this podcast, just to surrender, to pick up their cross, to start walking with you, to exchange their old life for new, to allow you, God, to forgive them, to change them from the inside out and to walk with them. And for them to experience the joy, the peace that comes from a life with you, the power that comes from a life with you, the value that comes from a life with you, the purpose that comes from a life with you, God, of just walking through this world knowing that we are yours. You cannot, will not ever take your hands, your eyes off of us, because we are deeply, passionately, and intimately loved by you. God, may that be something we practice daily, your presence in our life, until we learn to love you the way you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Once again, thank you for tuning in. And remember, today's a brand new day with brand new breath, with grace and mercy. Let's do it. Well, what an ending to an interview, right? Thank you so much for listening, for tuning in. Don't forget to share this on Instagram. Don't forget to share this on Facebook or any social platform. And you know what? We will love your comments and reviews. If there's anything you want us to change or add, or if you want to be interviewed, please let us know. Thank you so much. We're at any social media under Benching in the Kitchen. Thank you so much.